Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 406, Pumpkin Spice Podcast. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzle.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're on the patio this evening, and Shiva has some pumpkin spice.
It's shisha. Hookah.
Shisha. Okay. I was like, hashish? No, that's not it.
No.
We're not in Amsterdam.
This is a very different thing. No. So, it has been 2 weeks. We've all survived Thanksgiving and our various familial travails. Quick question, guys. What is the status of Thanksgiving leftovers? Have they been wiped out?
Nope.
I think ours have, yeah.
We still got a little left, but I'm about to... Well, it's kind of like a stew that I make out of leftover turkey. And that nice. Was supposed to be... In fact, that was supposed to be made all week, except I've been on call. So that means that if my phone suddenly makes a god-awful noise, which will probably cut, hopefully, and I vanish for a while, it's because work probably called me.
Yeah. Okay. And the only thing that we have left over that we took... was fudge. And we have a little bit of left of that. Like, I made sure to take some fudge with me to the Londoner on Sunday.
Oh.
And I made sure to share it with everybody, and even sent like a little plate of fudge back to the kitchen.
Oh, it's like, that was cool.
Bribing our waitress to continue to like us, you know?
Right, yeah.
When you go to a bar, you want to be on good terms with everybody, because it sometimes gives you discounts and free drinks. So.
Yeah. We were through our Thanksgiving sweet potatoes, and I don't know whether Ajax had extra sweet potatoes or he went out and bought more, but he made himself like two more batches of sweet potatoes.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Because he wanted to have more sweet potatoes with marshmallows.
Nice.
So parts of our Thanksgiving have kind of leftovers have regenerated a little bit.
You have Doctor Who leftovers.
I mean, my Thanksgiving was really nice, though. I mean, it was super long. But, like, we did breakfast with my parents. We did lunch with Panthers, one side of Panthers' family. Then immediately after that, the other side. And then we went to his extended family in Arlington. So, like, we left the house at 9 and got done back home at, like, 8 p.m. And Adam was very cross, but we were all extremely tired. But it was very pleasant, and we ate lots of food. And I had some really baller sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
They had both the candied pecans and the marshmallows in it, and, like, raisins as well. It was so good.
Ooh.
And I pet all the dogs.
Yeah.
Like you do.
As you do.
So... You left your dog alone for nearly 12 hours and came home smelling like four other dogs.
Yeah. And he was like, I see how it is. Like, I've never smelled these dogs before, and you come home smelling like other dogs. My God. My day involved a lot of travel.
Did you go to a dog park without me?
But it was nice and pleasant. I mean, you had people over, Fuzz.
Yeah, we had 13 people for dinner, and then a 14th showed up after dinner just to kind of hang out for a bit. And like some of our guests went on to do another Thanksgiving, like Buck and Wu Wei came over and did Thanksgiving, and then they went over to do Thanksgiving with Path and his mom, and then they drove down to Austin to see family down there.
Oh man.
And they did like a third Thanksgiving-ish trip like the day after. I just did the one.
What about second Thanksgiving?
I mean, I guess you can count the like days of eating turkey, and like the other day Tieran was like, I'm gonna make a pizza because I can't eat any more turkey. And so I was like, well, pizza. The turkey's almost gone, so you know, like I made a meal out of like three little turkey legs. We had two turkeys, we had two hams, we had two types of cranberry. So it was really cool, actually. We had our traditional canned jelly cranberry with the ridges intact, you know, as tradition
Very
dictates.
Important.
Slice yourself off another piece of cranberry, basically. But our friend Fetchbeer made the other kind of cranberry where it's like the berries in the bowl and everything. But like he made it with this like amazing recipe that involved like a couple of other spices and orange juice and like... It had this really nice, like, cranberry-flavored sweet tart kind of kick to it.
Sounds like the one that I make.
It was really, really good. And Tyrion's mom actually asked him to send her the recipe.
Nice.
So that went over very well. Ajax bought this big-ass fucking cooker thing for the ham. It was on our counter, and that turned out pretty well. But yeah, it was a really good time. Yeah.
What did you do, Shiva?
Thanksgiving itself, Noxie has a big shindig every year. For once, past couple of years, ever since me and Sarah became a thing, we would go over to his folks for the morning, and then turn around, go do Noxie's thing in the evening. This year, his folks opted not, they were just doing, they were like doing a vacation thing. So we didn't have that early obligation. But so just went over to Noxie's for a while. There was like 30 or 35 people at that thing. So her house fills.
Yeah.
Which is Guardian's thing that has evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guardian's thing can no longer fit in his apartment. So.
Yeah. So we did that on Thanksgiving. So this is the first time I've had Black Friday off in probably about a decade. Usually I end up being the one covering that shift because I don't plan on shopping or anything else like that. So I end up cooking, just staying home, and I cooked my own thing. And so I usually do a turkey ourselves because when we go do Noxie stuff, there's no leftovers. And we like eating Thanksgiving leftovers for a couple days. So we ended up doing that.
That's really amusing, actually, that you went to a Thanksgiving thing and then made your own Thanksgiving thing so you would have leftovers. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like the leftovers, and I like some of the things that I make with the leftovers. So we're doing that. We've got something special this year. I usually go looking around. A lot of the turkeys, like Butterball and that shit, they add basically pre-brine it for you. So when you got it, it's already had a fuck ton of salt injected into it, maybe some other stuff. Usually it's a ton of salt. So if you want to do any kind of brining yourself, sometimes it can come out overly salty.
Yeah.
So finding a turkey that hasn't been fucked with is actually really hard. So I end up going to Central Market, which is kind of a frou-frou grocery store, and I buy one of their birds. It's a lot more expensive than
Butterball
or any of those. So what they had this year was, if I want even more frou-frou, is if you've ever seen a picture of what most of the turkeys that we farm look like, they're like white, they look kind of ratty. Mothy. They taste delicious. They don't look pretty. What they had was, they called them heritage birds, and they're actually, if you picture what a wild turkey looks like, they're that breed. Only they're raising them in captivity, but it's not in like an enclosed, like,
it's barn. Not like a factory farm.
No, it's much
smaller.
They're
not growing them so big that they can't stand.
No, and they can fly, which, you know, and they do. So
do you have to, like, you go to an open pen there and you guys have to, like, run around and catch the one that you want?
No, I order it from Central Market.
Okay.
So I got that this year, which was really nice because I then turned around and I cooked it up, and it was very different compared to what you normally get. So they have a higher ratio of dark meat to white meat. They're a lot firmer meat, and they're a lot more flavorful than, you know, the standard bird. We got it. It is really, really good turkey. So pretty much as soon as we carve up the bird, I take all the meat off, and then I throw the bones in a pot, and I make stock. And then usually during the week, when we get tired of eating, like, turkey sandwiches and roast turkey and all that happy stuff, I turn around and I make something called Turkey a la King, which unfortunately you can't eat fuzz because it contains mushrooms. And it's basically kind of like a turkey stew. So it's got, like, mushrooms, it's got Worcestershire, it's got pimentos, a bunch of other stuff. And you
Pimentos. And no. I was like, that seems like a really odd ingredient. Just standing there with a bag.
It's like jarred. So they take red peppers, like, roast them, and then cut them up into pieces and jar it. And you dump that in a pot. It's like one tiny, tiny jar for a big pot of soup. You eat that over triangles of toast.
Oh. Okay.
And I haven't gotten a chance to make that this week because, like I said, I've been on call, which means days are hell, and I have occasionally gotten home and had to handle something else. Like tonight, I was at work until after 6. There was an issue with one of our clients, and I had to page out one of our SecOp guys for it. Well, the SecOp guy wasn't home, so it's like I can wait half an hour for him to get home. And then keep working here, or else I can go home while he goes home, and then we can keep working on it. So I didn't get done with work till about 7:30. I'm supposed to get done with work at 5.
And that was today?
That was today.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. So Sarah actually did a bunch of the podcast setup. I had just finished shortly before you guys walked in.
Yeah, so our timing wasn't too bad.
No.
So you guys had Black Friday off, and none of us work retail.
Thank God.
Did y'all do any of the, did you find any sick deals?
Actually, no. Like, weirdly, just we're talking about the RAM on our computers, because we were doing a lot of For Planet work, you know, ordering banners, which is like a very large file, and I was opening in Photoshop and getting memory errors. I mentioned it to Tyrion, and he's like, well, now's a good time to order RAM. And, like, I didn't actually go and look for deals. I looked for, like, the same brand RAM that we had, because I'm like, I know that this shit works with our motherboards already. So I ended up upgrading our computers from 16 gigs each to 32 gigs each. And that's going to help a lot with all the Photoshop files I have to deal with that are pretty big. But Friday, I basically did fucking all. Like, I would be up for a few hours, do a couple of things, and just be like, I feel tired again, and go and take like a 3-hour nap, and I'd be up for a little bit and be like, no, I should do. Even though I have like tons to do, but I just wasn't feeling it on Friday. And it was like, it's a holiday day for me. Fuck it. I'm going to lay down.
So for me, I don't go out on Black Friday. I try not to.
Oh, God.
But it's also really important, a really important day for my department at Fiesta. Because a lot of the shit that I need to buy goes on sale on Black Friday. Like, GameStop was selling controllers new for $40 as opposed to $65. They were selling multiple games that I was looking to get for $20 and $25 as opposed to $60. So yeah. I was able to stretch my dollars. So for the gaming room this year, we have 3 PlayStation 4s. We had a very kind person donate 2 PS4s last year, and I have a PS4 as well.
Jesus.
And so we'll have 3 PS4s. That means we'll have 3 copies of Dragon Ball FighterZ with the DLC and all that, 2 copies of Street Fighter V with all the characters and all that,
and 3 Sonic Foxes to beat people on all 3 of them simultaneously.
Yep. 2 copies of Injustice 2, the Ultimate Edition, that has all the characters and DLC on it. And I also bought a copy of Soul Calibur 6, which, you know, we'll have that as well. So basically, you got a bunch of new games, and I got Jace to do the purchasing for, like, the controllers and shit that I didn't go pick up myself. Like, I didn't buy anything off Amazon, you know, don't cross that picket line for Black Friday. Because there was, like, there was some shit in Europe where, in Spain specifically,
yeah,
where a bunch of the workers went on strike, and they tried to get the local police involved, and they were like, the fuck do you expect us to do? We can't force these people to work. So, you know, I didn't cross that picket line, but, you know, I was able to pick up some stuff that'll be really good for Fiesta, and, like, I got everything else lined up for Jace to pick up. So I came in under budget on my shit this year, and
very good.
Was able to get more games than I'd planned for. Like, some of the games, like I personally purchased a copy of Street Fighter V, DBZ, and the copy of Soul Calibur 6 for my personal collection, but they're still going to be for Fiesta.
Yeah.
They're mine, but for Fiesta, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the convention scene, we make tens to hundreds of negative dollars every year, because we put our own money into this thing. Doing this in a very scrappy way is just how it's always been.
Happy scrappy hero pup.
Yep. Oh no, not Scrappy Doo. I heard he was found dead in Miami.
So I'm going to talk about Black Friday. Not what I did personally, but what I did business-wise was we had a 4-day sale, 15% off everything on For Planet, 20% off everything on Bad Dog Books. And, like, so I just want to thank everyone that, like, came out and supported the store over the 4-day holiday weekend there. We did quite well. We have a shitload of orders to catch up on now, which is not a bad thing. I'll have to wait until after Midwest to ship the Black Friday stuff, though, because all of our stock is currently in Chicago.
Yeah.
So
all your stock and lots of most everybody.
Yeah. And it's difficult for me to ship orders when the books are all, you know, however many hundreds of miles away. The other neat thing that kind of happened was I'd been watching the For Planet Twitter account the last couple of months as the follower count has gradually increased. Like, we were getting, like, more and more followers, like sometimes, like, 8 people in a chunk. But the the For Planet Twitter had been slowly approaching 3,000 followers. And I had this thought that, oh, when we hit 3K, I'll do something special. And I had not been expecting it to happen so soon. So we hit 3,000 followers like the day after Cyber Monday. So what I did, I was just like, okay, fuck it. Hey, we just hit 3,000 followers, so I'm just going to extend this discount sale by another day. And I put that out there. So that basically got us a five-day-long sale on both of our websites. And that worked out pretty well. So definitely appreciate everybody supporting their fandom small business. That's much appreciated. And, you know, just hitting 3,000 followers on like a small publisher account, I was like, yeah, I feel like that's a pretty cool thing. So that's what was like the real big thing for me with Black Friday, was running my own business sale. We also had a big book launch on Tuesday the 27th, Ursula Vernon's new book, Swordheart, dropped. So we did like a lot of pre-orders on Amazon. I also did pre-orders on Argyle Productions website. And between print and ebook, she sold over 1,000 copies in the first day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's and really like, cool. And I can share that information because she tweeted it.
Yeah.
Because she was like, whoa, we're already over 1,000 copies. And it's like, yeah.
And in the book world, that's a lot.
It is, yeah.
Especially small press.
Especially in the small press world. And that's a combination of, like, the Kindle sales, which go directly to her, but also our print sales and all the print and ebook sales directly through our website, which the ones through the website are particularly important because we don't have to give Amazon or any other distributor a cut of that. So the cut is just between what it costs to print and the author and us. So when you buy direct from a publisher, it definitely helps out. So yeah, things have been really busy for me on my business side. And, of course, still dealing with the day job, and it's always busy lately as well. So I've been really busy, and like some of my projects this weekend, I'm going to be working on some orders that I can fill. And I'm also going to be putting together and formatting for the ebook editions of the books that we just put out in print at Midwest. So everyone made it up to MFF safely.
Which is good.
And they got the table all set up and everything, so now they can chill out and relax and party on Thursday night. And tomorrow the dealers will open, and I'm sure that's going to be busy.
Man, I have seen so many photos. Like, I'm not one to get kind of jelly about not getting to go to a con, but this looks like it's going to be well over 10,000 people this year. I don't know for sure, but just some of the photos I've seen are just nuts. So the people, it's Thursday.
We had some discussion about that just amongst ourselves. I mean, not involving the con staff or anything, where we were like, yeah, the original estimate was this con's going to hit 10K, but it's also going to snow again on Sunday. And we were kind of like, you know, the people that live like 2 hours away that usually leave like Sunday afternoon or evening because they got to work the next day and they don't have the Monday off. Like Sunday might end up kind of quiet because people will try to get out under the weather. And they might lose some local people that may not want to drive into Chicago over a snowy weekend because it snowed before the con. It's going to be wet and cold during the con, and then it's going to start snowing again on Sunday. Oh. So if they don't break 10K this year, it's going to be due to the weather. Without the weather being a factor, I think they would have done it easy.
Oh, yeah. But
then again, I mean, I may be surprised. I mean,
who knows?
Who knows? You know, this was just myself and Tieran and Buck were kind of spitballing numbers. And like, because, you know, there was one year Fiesta we kind of thought was going to have a bigger attendance. But
and we had the ice storm.
It was in February and the weather was shitty. It was closer to FC, you know, because it was in February instead of late March. Like it will be in 2019. So, you know, weather is a factor when it comes to convention attendance. So we'll
see. When you got to deal with winter weather.
I hope they're just like, fuck it, let's go to Midwest, and they blow it out of the water. But it'll be interesting to see what our sales are like this year because we have some interesting challenges. Like Cheetah Paws was not able to finish the artwork for the calendar in time for us to have it printed for Midwest. So we're taking online pre-orders for the 2019 Cheetah Paws calendar, but it will probably be shipped out in a time frame between late December and early January, which, I mean, is not ideal, but it's,
I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You know, and we're still going to sell a ton of them, so it's going to be fine, but we don't have them at Midwest, and that's kind of a pity, because calendars are a good impulse buy at a convention, because it's like, oh, this hot calendar that, right at the time when people buy calendars, November, December. So we got that. We got the weather. So it'll be interesting to see if our sales drop or if they're steady or if they miraculously increase. I don't know. It's not like last year was bad. If we do what we did last year, I'd be perfectly fucking happy.
I mean, the fandom is just getting bigger and bigger, and like positive press only helps us out.
It is, yeah. It's like this stuff can be tricky to predict. And like if something that we ordered X number of copies of sells out super early, it's kind of like, okay, we should have ordered more than that. Like Claw at Anthrocon, you know, sold out in the first day. So
yeah,
sometimes things surprise you. I thought I ordered more than enough. Clearly we didn't.
And you got lots of new stuff for MFF too.
Yep.
You showed me the proofs for them, like the last part of Share and Share Alike. You got J.D. LeClaid's
Ask the Werewolves.
Ask the Werewolves and his selfies thing, which is really neat.
Yeah, Adventures in Smiling is this little photo album where, for those who don't know, J.D. LeClaid takes cell phone photographs and he fixes them by drawing your true self over the photographed image, so he furryizes people.
Yeah.
And I like that the last few pages of the book actually has like some of his process photos in there, and like here's how I do it, basically, like with the different layers and shit like that. So
yeah,
so that was pretty cool. But yeah, we have like, it's like 10-ish new items. I forgot the exact amount.
Tempo's
now.
New book.
Yep. Windfall. Otter Body
Experiences and Other Stories.
Yep.
It's like a main story and then some side stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's a bunch of new stuff. It's really cool. Like, you showed me all the proofs and I flipped through them.
Yep.
There is a new, was that new Fluff Kevlar?
Yeah, Fluff Kevlar did one called Cats Can Fetch.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Which is super hot. And, I mean, that was only $15, so you should totally check that shit out.
So, yeah, like, promotion. But, yeah, you know, it's a good positive thing, and we're happy about it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, like, but you're also talking, you're promoting, but you're also talking about shit you really like, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, and, like, you know, the company's busy, and I feel way too busy and a little overwhelmed sometimes, but, like, my company's doing pretty well, and that's totally a good thing. And yeah, I love this fandom, and I've loved my time in it and what we're doing, and the fandom is really supporting us and keeping this business running. So,
you know,
I feel very positive.
Positive.
Yeah. Shout out to Pepper. Pause.
Yeah. And it was also really nice. We got to sit and have dinner with Kyle here the other night, too.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. Like, he had a connecting flight in Dallas, but due to like local weather conditions, his initial flight was late taking off, and he missed the connection by minutes. So they were like, oh, you could stay at this hotel near the airport for $300 a night. And he was like, fuck that. He was thinking of like, I'll take a lift to Dallas and stay at like a Hampton Inn for like $99. And we were like, you can crash on our couch, it's comfy.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, let's do that. And then we went out to Cafe Brazil and we had a nice dinner. And that was cool because you and I are not at MFF and we wouldn't have gotten to see him.
Yeah,
so
like
we got to spend a little time.
Last time I'd seen him was Fiesta.
It was Fiesta.
And that was like Fiesta. Me sneaking out of my room. You'd be like, hey, dude, how's it going? Good to see you.
Bye.
And I last saw him in August. I was out there for Worldcon.
Yeah, because he wasn't at Anthrocon, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did see him at Anthrocon because we went Pokemoning together.
Yeah, yeah.
Duh.
You guys even talked about
Community
Day.
My brain. My brain's been really weird.
Okay, so you last saw him at Anthrocon in July.
Yeah, we went.
And I saw him in August.
Traipsing around the city for Articuno Day.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Pokemon, so you and I have both been playing the Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
I haven't played much of it. It's been on the to-do list, but last week was Thanksgiving.
You've been a little busy.
It also doesn't help that Sero just got his own copy of, oh, what's that? Zelda?
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, and he's been living on the Switch, so
it's such a good game, though.
I can't play it if he's playing Zelda.
You need to buy another Switch, I guess.
No.
Clearly.
Yeah.
You get one of the, you get what you need to do, do what Ajax did and get the one that's actually Pokemon themed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't actually have to do that.
It was like $400 when I priced it, because you got another copy of like Pokemon Go with it and like the Pokeball.
It should be like $350, but
no, it would still more than we already had.
Actually, no, it would be $400 because it's $300 for the console, $100 for the game. I've had my Switch for a while, and it gets a lot of play. And like, I brought it with me to Alamo City Free Invasion.
Yes,
and played Fortnite.
I would have answered quicker, but I had a mouthful of smoke.
Yeah, and that was where I got Ajax into playing Fortnite, and I'm so sorry. But it helped him kick the Pokemon Go habit, which was ruining his life, so now he's playing Fortnite all the time. I have been enjoying the hell out of it.
Cool.
I have, like, here's my confession, guys. I have never actually beaten a Pokemon game, ever. Like, I have never played a Pokemon game to completion.
I feel like we need to insert, like, a record scratch sound there.
I like Pokemon, but I've never beaten the games. Like, the most I've played in, I got level 40 in Pokemon Go. But that's not the same as beating a mainline Pokemon game.
Right.
So this coming out, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, it's a remake of Yellow, which came out on the Game Boy. And I just never played it. So this was a chance to go back with a very simplified in certain ways.
You mean like the gray brick Game Boy? Yeah,
gray brick Game Boy.
Cool.
1998.
I didn't know that they went, I guess they went back that far,
yeah.
Wow.
And I know all these Pokemons, and like, oh yeah, I remember these, because when they came out in 1996, I was like 13, 14. And so I'm familiar with all that shit, and I watched the anime when it first aired.
People have said that this is a good jump on game for people that haven't played the Pokemon games before, because it has
the least amount of weird mechanics involved. Like, it has a couple of the types that didn't exist in Gen 1, like Fairy and Dark. But it's the original 151 and their Alolan versions, which are like the Hawaiian variant ones. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, it ties into Pokemon Go in a really cool way. So, like, you play the game and it's kind of like it's a regular-ass Pokemon game. Except for when you're in the overworld, you can see the Pokemon. So you don't, like, have to run through grass and be like, ah, oh, fuck, it's another goddamn Rattata.
Run in circles.
You can see the fuckers pop up and go and get them when you want them to. Like, if a Pokemon is shiny, it shows up on the map as a shiny.
Whatever you say Rattata, I think of Rattata.
Yeah.
That's okay. I do the same thing.
So, like, it makes the catching of Pokemon extremely your choice. Like, the catching mechanics are the same as in Pokemon Go to a degree. So you're just throwing the ball at the monster and it's like RNG. That's kind of annoying. Like, I wish it could be better. Like, maybe you could smack the Pokemon around a little bit and then throw the ball. Well, that's what you have to do to, like, the legendaries and Snorlax. You have to fight them first, and then you get to catch them. I wish there was
Because I guess you gotta weaken their stats before they can get in the ball.
For most Pokemon, it's just you throw the ball and you catch them. But for the bigger ones, you have to slap them around a bit, then you can try to catch them. Like, I really wish...
That sounds so wrong.
I know. I mean, it's essentially dogfighting, but cute monsters.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too hard, kids.
Right.
But it's really cute and really fun, and, like, your little Eevee is stronger than God. It comes out of the ball absolutely perfect in all stats,
mm-hmm.
and it's your constant companion. It follows behind you or sits on your head. Like, there's a dedicated button on the menu that says play with and the name. Like, I initially was like, I named it Adam, but then I found out, oh, I got a girl. So I named it Princess instead. So it's like play with Princess, and you do that, and you know, you tap the screen to pet her, and she makes little cute noises and purrs, and occasionally, like, the thing will jump and like, oh, Princess has a gift for you, and when you pull it up, she's like does a little Eevee Eevee noise, except she's got the thing in her mouth, so it's all like muffled.
Aww.
And it's the cutest goddamn thing. And occasionally, once you get the friendship level up, she'll like. When you go into the menu, she'll run up and, like, nuzzle against the inside of the screen. Oh, God, it's so cute. So it's super fun. And the other really good thing is, like, as I'm a level 40 no-lifer in Pogo, you can transfer any Generation 1 Pokemon, asterisk. You can't transfer Shinies, can't transfer Legendaries. But any Pokemon other than that, you can transfer into Pokemon Let's Go. And it doesn't change their stats at all. So, like, if you catch a good... but otherwise really low-level Pokemon, you just send that fucker to the game. It's a one-way trip, but they keep their good stats, and you can level them up the traditional way. and use them.
But you can't do like the. Can you do like the third gen and other stuff, or is it just Gen 1? No, it's
only Gen 1 and only the Alolan forms.
Okay.
So, like.
Are they going to do like any DLC to kick in the later gens gradually?
Like, they would be fools for not doing it. This has been like the top selling Pokemon game for years.
Oh, nice.
On a new console. In addition, the Gen 2 games, the Johto series, once you beat the end game, it also included the Kanto map, the original map, and you could go back and catch the original 151 in that. So, like, I could totally see them doing, like, let's go, like, in a year or two, if they wanted to do the full game route, do a let's go Johto version that would also include the Kanto map as a post-game thing.
Yeah.
I could totally see them doing that. But, like, I've had a lot of fun, like you know, because you get a Pokemon that gets really good stats in Pogo, and it's really good, but it's really low level. You're not going to use it, but you don't want to just grind to dust. This let me find a use for them, essentially. Because I had, like, a perfect Mankey, the pig monkey fighting Pokemon.
It's the let's go home for wayward Pokemon.
Yeah. And the other thing, you have 20 Go Parks. So it's like, you know, kind of like how the box system worked in the original games. The game, basically, you can send up to 50 Pokemon to each park place. And you can just dump them all in one, or you can sort them by type. So I have another one that I'm slowly building that's all just Eevees and Eeveelutions. So I'm eventually going to have like
an Eevee park.
An Eevee park that's just nothing but Eevees, Flareons, Jolteons, Vaporeons.
That's funny.
Because I can, you know? And this coming weekend is the Mega Community Day for Pogo.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have a chance to catch more good Eevees. So I'm looking forward to doing that this coming weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I might see if I can get, like, my work laptop on my, make sure I'm all set to, like, immediately hop on if work pages out.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, too, Shiva, that the spawns are going to be all weekend. Like, yeah. Starting Friday through Sunday.
I'm on call till midnight Sunday.
Yeah. But, I'm fucked. If you can go somewhere, you'll have a chance to catch any of the previous year's stuff. So, that's really cool. And a lot of them are also good. So, like, if I get a couple of good, more good routines, I can send them into Let's Go. And I've been slowly increasing my Pokemon storage in Pogo because I only had 1,000 storage. And I'm like, I'm going to catch a fuckload of Pokemon over the weekend. So that's been really happy and fun. The other cool thing is I've got the little Pokeball Plus. It's a controller for the Switch, but also a pedometer. Mm-hmm. But you can basically, quote unquote, put a Pokemon inside.
Yeah.
And you can basically level it while you're walking.
Yeah.
So I've been taking it with me to the gym the last few nights. And getting, like, 12 to 20,000 XP for my Pokemon because I'm, like, either holding it in my hand while I'm, like, on the treadmill and it gets the steps that way, or, like, it's in my pocket when I'm doing weightlifting. So I'm getting all these steps for it and leveling up a Pokemon and getting rewards and Let's Go while I'm also, you know, working out in real life.
Which is nice.
So I take my Pokemon with me to the gym and don't have them battle. So that's been fun. And then, like, some more fun Mario stuff in Mario Odyssey. There's, like, an 8-bit costume that's been fun.
Huh.
Like, there's been a lot of little, like, some pleasant things happening in video gaming that I've been enjoying. You know, there's the not-so-pleasant things, like Fallout 76.
Sam seems to be enjoying that.
I was amused by your toot on Mastodon about $100,000 for EV clothes. Is someone good at math? Help me with this budget. My Pokemon are dying.
Yeah, so one of the things you can do in Let's Go is you can dress up your Eevee. You can buy them hats and sunglasses and bows and bandanas and clothing. And, like, you can spend a lot of Poke Dollars on Pokemon clothing. Like, the hats are 20,000. There's glasses, which are 3 or 8. Ribbons, which are 3, 2, you know. Once you buy them, they stay in your inventory, and you can equip multiple of the same object, because you can put accessories on chest, ears, back, and tail.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put ribbons all over the little Pokemon. But yeah, it was like balls 1,500, berries 1,000, Eevee clothes 100,000, lures 400. Somebody help me. The clothing is a little easier to see on the Pikachu, but, you know, as they say, Pikachu's a little bitch. There was also, so has there anything been cool video gaming for you, Fuzz?
No.
No.
Any cool books?
Oh man. I started reading a kind of, this is sort of a dark topic. It's a book called The Screaming of the Innocents.
Oh, that sounds good.
By Unity Dao, who was like the first woman justice in Africa. And the book is kind of partially based on her experiences, but it's about like the magic. I don't know. I'm not sure how to describe it, if it's a religion or religious practice, but it's called Muti, M-U-T-I. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Maybe a bit like voodoo or something like that, but there were actual cases of people kidnapping and murdering children harvest their energy, basically.
Like with albinos as well.
Mm-hmm. And this was like a real case that got busted. So it's about that. It takes place in Botswana. And I've been reading that in between proofing for Planet Books, which are generally more lighthearted than that.
and more porn-filled.
Yeah, well, not all of them.
But, I know. I just give you shit.
But yeah, so that's what I've been reading that. And there's, of course, this is just a book that's been on my to-read pile for a while now. I have a little to-read. I don't have a little to-read section all over the place. But I made a little to-read next shelf in my library. You know, a cool library thing that I want to talk about is there's a guy in Japan. Well, I say guy. I actually don't know. I don't recall. There's a person in Japan who makes these little handmade wooden bookends that are, they're like a few inches thick, and they're all created to look like some of the narrow alleyways in Tokyo.
Oh yeah, right. I think you showed me that.
So like it has a light on the top. So you flick on the light and you see like a doorway into an apartment and a fire escape and stuff like that. And it's designed to just sort of slide between two books on a bookshelf and be this cool little thing, right? Well, I read an article about it and they were taking orders for these via Twitter DMs. They don't have like a web store or anything like that. And I could tell that they're taking their Japanese kanji and translating it into English, probably like Google Translate or something, because the translation's not 100%. But I went ahead and ordered one, and I asked the price, and it's 20,000 yen. And I did the conversion, and it's like $178. And I'm like, that is plus shipping from Japan. But that is not a lot.
No.
So this is going to cost me in the neighborhood of like $200 or maybe a little more depending on the shipping.
That strikes me as worth it.
But it's a really neat art piece.
It's really cool. They're all custom made. So I'm looking at a year to a year and a half before I get this. And you don't have to pay up front. You pay after they've sent it to you, which I think is like really trusting on the artist's part. I hope they don't get fucked over by this, because like they've got this sudden wave of publicity because they tweeted a picture.
Yeah.
And they had a few pictures of their works. And so it got retweeted a bunch and some articles have been written. And so now they're getting a lot of business. And I'm really happy I was able to order one from the original person, because you know there's going to be knockoffs of other people trying this. Or churning them out in a wood shop somewhere. So yeah, I'll let you know in like 18 months, you know, how that works out. But you know, you should look it up on Twitter, or I'm sure you could Google it. You know, like Japanese lighted bookend custom or something.
Remind me, 18 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Make a note.
But even without ordering one myself, like the pictures are just damn cool. It's just a really cool little piece of art. And it's specifically built to be on a bookshelf. So yeah. I'm totally all about that.
We'll find the tweet and put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I just think it's very cool. And
oh, yeah. I agree.
So that's my one cool thing for this week, I guess.
So speaking of Japan, I do have another cool thing. We're actually being like sticking to positive things this week because, you know, it's just positive stuff. There's things that we like that are happy and want to talk about.
Right.
So speaking of Japan, there is an anime that's currently airing called Zombieland Saga.
Ah, yes. You told me about this.
Yeah. It's an anime that has a really weird premise. It is about a necromancer who's also a manager, an idol group manager. And his plan is he resurrects these idols, these singers, from various eras around Japan and puts them to being a regional idol group for the Western Japanese prefecture of Saga. And that's
It's the Undead Spice Girls.
Undead Spice Girls, right? And there are a total of 7 of them in the group. And there is a girl named Lily. She's the youngest of the group. And there's been a couple of, like, things that have been foreshadowing, like, when they were like, oh, we're going to go to a hot springs, we're going to rent it out for the day so that nobody sees that we're all zombies. And Lily was very uncomfortable with this, and no reason given, but she was kind of a thing. But she had her episode. Like, most of these shows, if they have enough episodes, they do a character episode where you kind of learn more about a given character.
Yeah.
And episode 8 was hers. And, you know, the character's name is Lee Hasakawa, and she was a child actor who died right at the start of puberty. And it goes on to basically a little bit about her life. Her mother died very young. Her father was incredibly supportive and supported her in being a child actor. And at the cusp of puberty, she's overworked and extremely tired. And then one day she's at the mirror and she's like, she's already sulking in her room because she's like, oh, leg hair, what the fuck? And she brushes out her face. She's like, is this a little bit of seaweed from the breakfast? And she's like, no, it's a facial hair. Oh, God. And she just has a heart attack and fucking dies. Because it turns out that Lily was assigned male at birth and Lily is trans. And it was surprisingly handled really well. Like, the characters are like, well, I mean, what does it matter? You know, we're not going to age, we're not going to get any older, we're going to say how we are. And Lily's like, I'm still Lily, and this is who I'm always going to be. One of the other characters who's kind of, she's like the tough girl ganger kind of person, and she's like, ah, who cares? It doesn't matter what kind of junk she's got. You know, she's still part of the group, and we're going to keep doing this shit. And they go to the manager slash necromancer, and he's like, did you know this? And he's like, yeah. If you have time to complain to me about this, you have time to go practice. Get back to work. And the other plot thread is that Lily's dad had seen her on TV looking like she did when she died like 8 years ago. So while she can't be like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm undead now, but I'm still your daughter, they did do a concert, invite him, and Lily sang a song for him. So at the end of the episode, her dad feels a little bit less upset, and Lily has a little bit of resolution with her dad, and then it just goes on to the next episode.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And it was one of those things where it's like they handled it really well.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't weird or exploitative, and none of the characters were like, oh, he's got, you know, didn't misgender Lily or anything. And so that was really nice. I mean, there was people mad on Twitter, but there's always going to be people mad on Twitter. They don't matter. And it's just interesting to see people recognizing, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's going to be queer and trans characters in anime. I mean, in a lot of these shows, once it goes past, like, 4 or 5 characters, the odds of having a crossdresser or trans character actually go up way the fuck up,
mm-hmm.
especially in shows that feature primarily women. So, like, this came up in another show, I forget, fuck, but it was, like, set in a coffee bar where all the characters played a role, and one of the characters was just a crossdresser, and that was a little less sensitively handled, because the person, the character is cis, they just crossdress, because they're like, fuck it, I'm gonna make it in Tokyo, because goddammit, I'm not gonna go back to my parents' farm. Mm-hmm. But then you also have, like, characters in Double Decker, which is another currently airing show, which is kind of a sequel series to Get Backers. It's like the same universe.
Get Backers was good. I really like Get Backers.
This one's called Double Decker. You should ask Sam if he's getting it, because it's really cool. Like, I'm really enjoying it. It has like a butch lesbian gal. She looks a lot like Sombra from Overwatch, mm-hmm. in a way. She's the heavy weapons girl for the group, and she's in lesbians with their robot android person. But like, the main character's sister is trans, and it was like, The main character is, like, a total idiot, and, like, he doesn't get things, so it's a comedy show. Like, it's revealed that his sister is trans, like, because she disappeared, like, a decade ago. He never knew what the deal was, but she shows back up, and he's like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, why did you think I leave? He's like, I don't know. I just thought you got bored one day and left. Jeez. So he's a total dumbass, but the show is really good. And it's one of those things where it's like, anime has always had a message, right? Like, shows have messages.
It seems like it is kind of evolving to, you know, more modern norms. Yeah,
and like, there's been a couple of explicitly queer anime. I mean, there's Grow Into You, which is a lesbian romance between two adult women that's on High Dive, which I haven't seen yet because it's on High Dive and I don't have that. I pay for Crunchyroll. Goddamn fragmentation.
Oh, I didn't know there was another one.
Oh, there's several.
Amazon did their thing for a while.
There's another one called Daikaichi, I think it is, and it's a yaoi one, which is super gay. Though it does have kind of the bad politics of, like, the main character does get kind of blackmailed into fucking him. But then there's like, oh, this is okay. And they fuck twice in the first night, and it becomes kind of a romance, but I've only seen the first couple episodes. It was all right, but it's another extremely gay anime. Amanchu was very lesbian until, like, they did the last, literally, episode 26, like, fuck you twist, which kind of pissed everybody off. Then, of course, like, Dragon Maid, Citrus. So it's like, there's been lots of anime that have good queer characters in it as of late, in the last few seasons. But even then, like, anime is, a lot of stuff has had strong messages. I mean, there's the popcorn stuff that's just there to tell you toys, but there are shows that have messages. Cool. That was a nice thing.
The popcorn episodes have a message buried in them somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, but it's nice to see a show and be like, oh, this is good, and they're not being weird and exploitative and, like, making fun of this character for being queer or whatever. Because that can happen, too. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I think I talked about, I watched the first episode of Goblin Slayer,
mm-hmm.
and that one starts out rough. Like, do not recommend it. But it's one of those that I knew in advance what to kind of expect, so I kind of, like, watched the episode with gritted teeth, kind of leaned back and going, oh, yep, there's the goblins are, those are to mean goblins, oh shit. Got a lot of rape in the first episode. Wouldn't recommend it, honestly. I have not watched past the first episode, though, because of an account of all the rape. But then there's, you know, other shows where it's like, oh, this is surprisingly good, and you can catch up. Because, like, there was quote-unquote discourse around the 8th episode of Zombieland Saga. I actually skipped some episodes to get to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of going into it not sure what to expect, but it actually did turn out well and was handled pretty well for an anime. So it's always nice when the media doesn't disappoint you.
Yes.
In other news, it seems like Tumblr has been having some issues as of late.
Oh, is this the porn purge thing?
The porn purge, yes, but also there was just a tweet and a thing I post to our furry that on Reddit that basically Twitter they have purged the tag furry.
What?
They haven't, like,
from Tumblr?
Basically, they made it unsearchable. So
what the fuck?
Tumblr has been having some issues because
did they know their audience? I mean, there's a shitload of furry artists on
that's
Tumblr.
That's the thing, because, like, they 2 weeks ago, Tumblr got delisted from iOS, from the App Store. iOS has some issues, like,
with adult content.
With adult content.
Right.
So, like, public, horny Telegram channels will be blocked on phone Telegram clients unless it's a private group. And Tumblr has been, like, nerfing and pruning and pushing back on adult content on their platform. Like, adult content, if you search for it, doesn't show up. So trying to find adult, like, finding porn artists on Tumblr is actually really hard.
Yeah, you have to know their name already and go directly to their Tumblr.
See, you know, what they're reblogging, or look through people who reblog porns, like, archives to find stuff you like.
Right.
So, like, they've made it a lot harder for people to do adult art, but, you know, they have a bot problem, like a porn bot problems, that's legit. But in the process, they also nuked a bunch of art blogs, like furry art and stuff.
Right.
So that was a problem. And just now, it's looking like you can't find anything under the furry tag.
Because obviously all furry is porn.
Yeah. You can do anthro. Anthro and scaly are fine. But sex education, like the word sex, can't be used. So you have to do, like, sex ed. Like, they're playing these weird games to basically let Tumblr get back on the App Store. And the resulting thing, though, is that it's basically punishing and erasing the ability for certain blogs to be found. Like, I don't know, like, if Ask the Werewolves uses the hashtag furry tag, it's not going to be able to be found by using that hashtag. You have to search for, like, Ask the Werewolves or whatever tags he uses just to randomly find it. Or you have to know his Tumblr URL.
Right.
So that's a bit of a problem.
That's weird.
They don't know their audience. But the thing is, Tumblr is owned by Yahoo, and so they have megacorp views on sex and porn.
Yeah, a lot of people were... I remember when, back when I still used Tumblr, like, a lot of people were really concerned by the Yahoo acquisition, and, I mean, not without reason.
Yeah, and so this is, like, it just happened, like, it just saw a post about it. But yeah, if you search for the tag furry as of this recording at 9:44 p.m. on Thursday, November 29th, you aren't going to find anything.
Huh.
And so that's a bit of a problem. You'll have to, like, if you're an artist on Tumblr, you might need to reconsider some of your tagging and check your discoverability that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like how it is on YouTube. You got to have all the right fucking tags. But on Tumblr, you know, a lot of people posting their art and trying to make money and, like, get their names out there. So them doing this kind of stuff is super not helpful.
No.
And it doesn't also help that Twitter, people having to start up Twitters from scratch or posting onto Pixiv or posting onto DeviantArt or getting for affinity accounts. This was actually interesting to see because, you know, I've always kind of remembered people like, oh, you have, like, one of everything, right? But there were some of these people that were like, oh shit, this is the only place I've got all my archive shit. Oh no. And they're pulling down copies of their own art. I'm like, why would you do that? But these people are young and perhaps not the brightest. But Tumblr is far from the Wild West of being able to find all the cool furry porn you want. It still exists. Like, I didn't actually lose that many blogs that I followed during the purge, but I lost a few. I think about 20 of the 300 or so blogs that I follow poofed on me. And so, like, some of them were ones that hadn't been updated in a while, and, like, I've got a few that haven't updated in a couple years that I just should probably unfollow. But it is kind of a problem, so if you're an artist or a person that uses Tumblr, you just need to be aware of that. So, one other anime thing that I was going to bring up is we got asked a question about, like, what the fuck is up with the G-rated Dragon Vore anime? Hisone Tomasatan, Dragon Pilot. It's on Netflix. And I haven't seen it. James watched it, said it was really weird, not quite what he expected, but this is a show that if you are into Japanese military bullshit, dragons, and vore, this anime is firmly in the middle of that Venn diagram. It's that Venn intersect. It's just Dragon Pilot. And so this is about, like, the dragons exist in Japan, but to protect them, they disguise themselves as planes, but they need pilots that can, like, mentally connect to the dragons. But to pilot said dragon, you get swallowed by said dragon.
So the dragons have a plane sona?
Yes. Like, they put on, like, armor on, they give them, like, armor on the wings, and they transform into jet planes, and then, like, they don't. And then, like, they untransform when they're on the ground or whatever. But to pilot it, like, they swallow them, and then, like, the pilots kind of wedge themselves, I guess, in, like, the esophagus. Like, they put their hands on your side, they mentally connect to the dragon.
From inside the dragon.
From inside the dragon, and it becomes, like, translucent, and they fly the dragon that way. And it's really weird. But if you like dragons and vore and Japanese military otaku stuff, you might want to check it out. It's on Netflix. Also interesting Netflix stuff. They're doing a Blade Runner anime.
No shit.
They're doing a Blade Runner anime done by the guy who directed Cowboy Bebop, which is a big deal. I watched, and he was the guy that did Blackout 2022, if you saw that short. It was a Blade Runner anime short.
Oh, no, yeah. I saw all the three prequels to Blade Runner 2049.
He did the animated one.
Oh, okay, cool. So
they're going to do an animated, it's like Black Lotus or whatever. But
I will actually watch that.
Yeah, it's going to be on Netflix. And they're also doing a live-action Cowboy Bebop, which makes me kind of go, eh, not sure about that. But Netflix is actually putting money into doing anime and shit, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Like, I'll give it a shot, but if they're doing a series, it'll be interesting versus, like, they did the Bleach movie, which was, like, decent. Condensing all of Bleach into it, or, like, a couple of arcs into
it. It was really decent. I saw the live-action Bleach.
Okay.
I was surprised at how decent it was.
Okay. I haven't seen that much of Bleach. Like, I missed that train, and it got really, really long, so I'm not caught up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's good to hear, but it's cool that Netflix is throwing money into foreign markets. Because, like, there's a lot of, like,
Indian... We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how, like, you know, I was watching that show, The 3%, and it's from Portugal.
Yeah.
And Dark was...
German.
There
was,
like,
The Rain, which was Norwegian of some sort.
Yeah. And, like, so Netflix is doing a lot of this stuff where, like, they're funding foreign language productions and putting them on Netflix, and they're subbing them for English-speaking people. And it's really cool. Like, I've talked about this before, too, how, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I started to get into foreign literature because translated literature. This is why, like, for the same reasons that representation matters and why you want to read books by people of color and queer people and women and things like that, but also reading literature from different parts of the world. Like, people obviously are going to have a totally different perspective than people in the English-speaking world, and I've thrown out this stat before, that only 3% of the world's non-English literature is translated into English. And I know it's hard enough to, like, keep up with all the English-written books, but, like, there's, like, a whole other world out there of literature that we're typically not exposed to. I'm super down for Netflix funding TV show production in other countries so that we can like see some of this stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. Now, are those subtitled or are they like...
They're subbed because, yeah, I watched The 3%. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Yeah. It was only one season and it was a couple years ago, and I think they're doing a second season, but I mean, you know, these shows take a little while to put together.
Yeah.
So it's been a couple years since I've seen it, but yeah.
Like, there was another one that was like a supernatural show that featured like a girl's school that was from Spain.
Oh, okay.
There was an animated series called Super Drags, which is Brazilian.
Neat.
And then, of course, there's a lot of, like, Indian shows as well. Like, New Legend of Monkey, which is a action show with mythical elements in it and whatnot. So, again, it's really cool. You know, we can be exposed via Netflix to a lot of foreign shows and whatnot that we wouldn't otherwise see. And for our moment of schadenfreude for the week, Laura Loomer. This has been an ongoing thing today on the 29th. Laura Loomer is a low-tier conservative dipshit that got banned from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
She was...
And she had been verified, you said, so she took it really hard, I guess.
Yeah, she'd been verified, had 200,000 followers, whatever, and she had herself a little meltdown. She got banned from Twitter and Facebook, like, the same day, which to her is, like, leftist collusion.
Not, I'm a shithead, but so leftist collusion.
She did the thing where she went and handcuffed herself to the front door of Twitter's HQ in New York City. It's, like, 40 degrees, bit chilly.
Just a tinge.
And she wore a coat, but she also, like, she was being a real attention whore. She had a friend with her who was live streaming the whole thing. She'd made herself a paper Star of David thing that said Juden, like, from World War II. So she made herself look like a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, a right-winger wearing a Star of David.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she is Jewish.
Oh.
So, like... Nobody on her side likes her as well, you know, so there's that little bit. They were streaming this and people were just like, really, what the fuck? It's like a train wreck. You don't want to look away.
But so she got banned. How did they, did someone else live stream it, like, on their account?
They were live streaming it on their Twitter account of her, like, handcuffed to one door handle of the two doors at Twitter HQ. And, like, the police were called and they set up barricades and... Eventually, like, she had a megaphone, but the cops took it away from her, so she was having to yell at the top of her lungs about how they're colluding to ruin everything, that the libs stole the election, and how Trump should nationalize Twitter. Like, she was going on and on and on about First Amendment bullshit, which has nothing to do with private corporations telling you, no, you can't use your shit on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fundamental misunderstanding of free speech. I can't tell you, no.
And, they shouldn't specifically arrest you for,
but
and like
private companies like Facebook and Twitter don't have to put up with your bullshit. And so the question then became, so does she have the key? No, she's like, she claims she lost it or she threw it or whatever. And so people were heckling her. So what are you going to do when you need to go to the bathroom? And
well, there was like, those other alt-right people that were wearing diapers at that college.
Yeah, I mean, she should have worn her fucking Huggies, but she didn't. And like, after about 2 or 3 hours of being an attention whore, she had the cops come and cut her off the door and she slunk away, everybody laughing at her.
So she didn't get arrested for this bullshit?
Surprisingly not, because she's white. Like, in any other situation, the NYPD would have beaten the shit out of her and dragged her off, because that's just how the cops go. But in this particular case, no, she didn't, and the cops did cut her free, and Twitter was like, we're not going to press charges and make her a martyr. Just, if she'll get bored eventually. It's going to get down to 36 degrees in New York City tonight. She'll leave, because she was like, I'll be here as long as I need to. Well, apparently no, she didn't. She left after like 3 or 4 hours and did not get her Twitter account back.
I'm like, that's barely an effort. I mean, she put the long storied history of protesters chaining themselves to stuff to shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if she had any actual fucking values or commitments, she'd still be there screaming about First Amendment and free speech, but she doesn't. She's a grifter. This is the proof that no platforming these people really work.
Yeah.
Because when you tell them, no, you can't use our platform to spew your bullshit, they just evaporate. Like, you don't hear about Milo Yannabanana. You don't hear about Baked Alaska. You don't hear about as much fucking Alex Jones.
Isn't that a recipe? Baked Alaska?
Yes, it is.
Baked Alaska is, yes, but... Yeah. He was
Alex Jones is not a fucking recipe, Saverin. I know that.
No. Yeah, Baked Alaska was this one dude that, like, he made headlines by macing himself in the eyes during Charlottesville.
Excuse me a minute. I have to go make an Alex Jones. I'll be right back. Goes, takes huge dump.
Okay. I was like, oh, well.
That'll be my code for going to the bathroom.
BRB, you gotta make an Alex Jones.
What did they end up doing? The
Santorum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Myelinopolis has been reduced to selling fucking soy brain supplements on InfoWars, so, you know.
Is he really?
Yeah, I shit you not. So, like, you kick these fuckers off the platforms and they suddenly become irrelevant. Wow, it's amazing. So, that's been funny. That was our funny of the day. Like, there's lots of political stuff happening, but we wanted to have an episode where we just talked about happy shit that we enjoyed and had a good weekend. There's so much shit that's going on, it's impossible to touch on it all. Like, the next little bit's gonna be wild, I'm sure, but we're over here trying to hold it down, be happy, and have some good shit to talk about and boost while the world's on fire out there. Other than that, like, it's nearly 10 o'clock at night, we're past an hour at this point. Actually, it's past 10 o'clock now.
It's getting chilly.
It's getting a little chilly, a little bit of wind. So we should probably wrap this up. Unless you got anything else.
All right. No, I'm just looking forward to hearing how Midwest Fur Fest goes.
Yeah. So you guys, if you attended Midwest Fur Fest, you guys should totally write in and tell us how it goes. You can do that by mailing southpawscast@gmail.com. You can contact us on Tumblr, southpawscast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Twitter.
By the furry tag.
No, we don't really use tags. You just need to go to our URL. You can go find us on Twitter @southpawscast. We tweet that occasionally. There was a tweet that I retweeted from the account today about, you know, the new, more Orwellian Elf on the Shelf, which is Elfie, the fake surveillance camera you can stick in your corner instead of just the elf that's a narc.
What? Oh, okay. Sorry. Show me the tweet later.
I'll show you the tweet later, Fuzz.
So here's the thing. Today, I was like super focused at my day job, and like I've also taken my personal Fuzzwolf account. You could find me at Fuzzwolf on Twitter, but I won't be paying attention to it for a while. I've taken it off my phone. I will still see it on TweetDeck when I'm at my home desktop if I fire that up. But like, I'm in the office today and tomorrow, so
yeah,
you know, I'm trying to stop paying attention to it as much.
Oh yeah, like it's totally for the best.
And it really worked today. Like, I was actually really productive. So
yeah,
I'm less angry at the world.
And like, I keep the Fur Planet one and the Bad Dog Book one on there because, like, I have to be able to, like, answer customer queries, you know.
But yeah, the other night, my phone couldn't access mobile Twitter, and I was like, oh no, I can't access Twitter. Because I took my client off my phone, but you can still find me on Twitter @SavarinDrake, though you'll probably do better to find me Savarin@snouts.online on Mastodon. I'm a bit more talkative there, where I can be more thirsty about my werewolf boyfriend in Fortnite. I didn't mention it, but I have completed 100% of the season with 6 days to go. So thanks to Fortnite getting a werewolf, I went all in and got everything. And so did Ajax and a couple other people that I got into the game. So we're a bunch of werewolves. It's great.
You amuse me.
Werewolf gangbang.
Yep. It was a picture I posted today.
Have you managed to get 13 of them?
Well, I got a picture. It was like one human skin and three werewolves, and it was like me, 3 of 14 werewolves. And I made a tweet about, like, I need 11 more. And someone was like, oh shit, you're doing games of werewolf? Where you at, man? Assuming I was at MFF, and I'm like, no. So I took the tweet down and reposted it with, like, the I don't need therapy, I do need to be fucked in public by 14 werewolves to go with it, to make it a little more clear. And you can find me on Twitch at Savarin. I played some Pokemon, but it sucks to play with the controller. It's not nearly as easy to catch shit with the Joy-Con as it is.
So it is more designed to be used in handheld
mode. Yeah. The motion controls are a lot easier to handle in handheld mode. Beyond that, you can also find me on the Telegram group, which is nice and active and full of porn.
Lots and lots and lots of porn.
We curate the good shit.
If you want to support us, you can find us on patreon.com/southpawscast.
Yep. And we've been doing more of the Fox and Wolf Movie Time episodes. Like, we just posted one for Taxi Driver, 1976.
Yep.
Which was a really weird movie to see 42 years later without any context.
Yeah. Neither of us had seen that movie before, unlike a lot of these where, like, I've seen the movie and I'm showing it to you. this one, I was like, I seen it mentioned on Twitter or something, and I was like, huh, I've never actually seen that movie. I should watch it. And then I was like, I should have Saverin watch it with me, and then we can do a thing on it. So that was kind of interesting, like a true first impression sort of from both of us in that one.
And then we also just recently watched Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yeah, which neither of us had
I
seen
can't
that one either.
You guys had never
and
seen
only
that.
Ajax had only ever seen like the TV edited version.
Yeah,
same as he had only ever seen the TV edit of 28 Days Later.
I fucking love Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Like, it is one of my top for goofy, stupid movies. That and Dude, Where's My Car? Because I really love Dude, Where's My Car.
I need to rewatch that.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, shit. Okay, we got to do that one, Dad, because it's been several years since I've seen Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, no. We're watching this.
Okay.
All right.
So we need I'll even get Sarah in to watch Dude, Where's My Car? Because he loves it, too.
Okay, I got the DVD.
Fox and Wolf and Chiquette and Pupper and Other Pupper. Pupper and Doggo.
Yeah. Oh, hey, like, obviously, Tieran's out of town this weekend at MFF, so you're on call. Well, I mean, I have internet at my house, so...
Yeah, I'll just bring my work laptop and...
I would hope so.
I have internet at my house! I just realized how stupid that was. Like, guess what? I have internet at my
house. This is not the 90s buzz.
What baud is your modem? Do you have an acoustic coupler, or is it a 2400 one?
Oh, speaking of that, going through the box of shit I want to take to the electronic recycling, I have found feet and feet of telephone wire that we never threw away. Because this
you might someday need it.
Exactly. This is the box that everybody has of cords and shit that we might someday need. And I've got some that could be useful. Like, okay, we'll keep a couple of VGA cables if we need to hook up a spare monitor to a laptop or something. But I have miles of telephone cord, and I found like
for
a bunch
that
of
one day you might someday get a landline back.
Right, yeah. And I also had like several S video cables, which nothing uses anymore. My old laptop used S video to connect to the TV, and I'm like, I can get rid of that kind of shit.
So,
oh my god,
old tech.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe this weekend we'll get together and watch a few movies and record some podcasts.
That sounds
for
like
the Patreons
fun.
And patreon.com/southpawscast.
This is one of my I'm a shut in weekends because I can't go very far. If I do, I have to be prepared to be able to get online at any time. It's just I might see if I could steal one of the hotspots from work. In fact, I think I will.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So, where can they find you, Shiva?
Nowhere.
Okay. Well, apparently anywhere if you get a hotspot.
No, I am still on Twitter. I log on rarely.
Find Shiva at Starbucks sipping a pumpkin spice latte and working with a hotspot.
More like Jasmine's, a pumpkin spice hookah.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, other than that, I'm Chimera, both on Twitter and on Telegram, Khymaera, because social media, I don't know what happened. I just kind of fell out of love with it.
Hey, it's a hellscape. You're better for it. So, on that note, good night.
And big books.